Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. We were here in Exodus chapter 4 last week in the life of Moses. And the last place that we left off was that the Lord had given Moses a commission to go and do as he commanded him to do and free the people of Israel from slavery. Moses' reply to the Lord was nothing but excuses. And his focus was not on God and God's ability, but on himself. And Moses didn't feel like he had much to offer or ability to do what the Lord asked of him to do, judging by his response to the Lord. But God had an answer for every one of Moses' excuses. And I want to go back to this passage again because I want to focus in on verses 1 through 5, where God is really illustrating to Moses that God is the one who can do anything. All you need to do is be yielded and willing and then trust in my ability and not your own. And that thought is the principle that you and I also need to understand in our service to the Lord. In our personal life, in the life of a church, we may not feel at times we have much to offer the Lord, but again, our focus is in the wrong place. And so I want us to look at these verses again and make some different applications here, even than just the excuses that Moses gave. And again, it's going to go back to God's answer and how God tried to encourage and illustrate to Moses that he's the one who's able. In verse 1 of chapter 4, Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee." I want to talk to you this afternoon and consider really what it is, the question that the Lord asked Moses. He said, "What is in thy hand?" And the application is going to come back to you and me. What is in your hand? What is in my hand? What do we have that God has given to us already that God wants to use? Okay? And that's where we're going to go this afternoon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd use the word today to challenge and encourage us and at the same time convict us, Lord, where we need it. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to think today and be sober about the truth and about the word of God. And I pray that you'd use it. In Jesus' name, amen. First, I want to draw your attention to verse 1, and it's Moses speaking here, but there's a thought that is for us as well, that we are actually inadequate for the task that God has given. And you know in chapter 3 that God laid it out for Moses what he was to do, and in verse 1 Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." And the truth of the matter is, we are actually inadequate for the task. We don't need to go back and read all of chapter 3. But God's commission to Moses wasn't about Moses, and it wasn't about his ability, but Moses' immediate response to the Lord was, "I can't." And we saw that in verse 1. He says in verse 10, "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant." Like nothing's changed. I wasn't eloquent when you talked to me the first time. I'm not now either. Nothing's gotten better. And he says, "But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." And we read on a little bit further, and God's response to Moses was, "Who's made a man's mouth, Moses? Or who makes the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth." And so we remember that Moses' immediate response was, "I can't." And the reason for that was all he could see was his own inadequacy or his own shortcomings. But God was trying to reassure Moses when he told him, "What is in your hand?" Moses says, "It's a rod." God was trying to reassure Moses of something. And look at verse 3 again. "Cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground. It became a serpent. Verse 4. "Put forth your hand. Take it." He put forth his hand. He caught it. It became a rod again. And here's the what God was getting across to Moses in verse 5. "I've done that so that these people will believe that the Lord God of your fathers has appeared unto you." And so God's trying to reassure Moses that it's not about what you have to offer, but it's about what I can do through what you're willing to yield. And we think about this rod. How many times did God draw attention and use Moses' rod? I mean, the very first was that it ate the snakes that were before Pharaoh. We know that the rod was used in the crossing of the Red Sea. We know that Moses' rod was used to smite the rock and water came out to give water to millions of people and cattle. And we might look at that and say, "Wow, that's pretty amazing. That's a magic stick." But it wasn't a magic stick. It was just a shepherd's rod. The power wasn't in the stick. The power was the power of God using the instrument. And so the point is that the stick was just an illustration of the fact that God can use anything. Doesn't matter. What's in your hand? Oh, it's a rod. God can use it because he's the one with the power. And the application is pretty simple. We ought to be able to trust and believe that God can do the same thing with me. We may not think that we have anything special to offer God, but God can use anything. He just wants an instrument that is actually yielded to him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, keep your place here. We'll turn to a few passages of Scripture today. Instead of me just quoting them or reading them, you're going to turn with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 4, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, and he starts in the first of this chapter by talking about commending themselves for the work that they've done and so on, and that's not what it's about. And he gets down to verse 4 and he says, "And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." And he says, we trust in Christ. Our sufficiency is in Christ and not ourselves. And it's Christ who has made us able to do the things that he's commanded us to do. God wants a yielded instrument. He just wants your life. And instead of us taking an inventory of, okay, what good thing is there about me, Brother Chris? What talent do I have? What ability do I have? Instead of taking an inventory of, oh, I think I could do that, that would be acceptable, or that would be something that... No, instead of taking inventory, God just wants simply a yielded vessel that doesn't put any parameters on God, that doesn't put any limitations on God, that just says, "Lord, I'm just here to be used of you, whatever you want to do." Sometimes people will say, "Well, I could do, or I would be adequate, or that's a possibility, but I don't really want to leave this place. I don't really want my life to change." And so what happens is we end up wanting God to get on our page of how I'm going to serve God, in which way I'm going to serve God, rather than us simply yielding to the will of God. God told Moses what he was supposed to do. His first response was, "I can't." But God says, and he didn't think he had much to offer the Lord. And then God says, "What's in your hand?" The second thought and principle here is that we're commanded to be faithful stewards of God's things. And what do I mean by that? Well, in verse 2, if you go back to Exodus chapter 4 again, Exodus chapter 4, in verse 2, the Lord said unto him, "What is in thy hand?" And he said, "A rod." God said, "Cast it on the ground." Verse 4, God said, "Take it up again." The point I'm making here is, again, we're to be faithful stewards of God's things. And the question is, whose rod was it actually? Who did it actually belong to? Moses said, "It's a rod." What if Moses said, "Well, this is my rod. This is mine. It belongs to me. I don't want to throw it down on the ground," when God said to do it? What if Moses said, "I need this for myself. I've worked hard for this thing. I don't really want to let you have it." What if he said, this is my favorite rod. I'll go find another one for you to use, Lord." You understand what I'm saying here? What Moses held in his hand was actually God's to begin with. And the application is pretty simple. Everything that we have is the Lord's. And if it already belongs to him, then it should be subject unto him. How useful was that rod when it was in Moses' hand? It had some use to it, but it's pretty limited. It was pretty limited in its scope in Moses' hand, but how useful did it become when it was in God's hand? We know that God did amazing things with that rod. And the application here is, God used that, whatever instrument that was, a million times better than Moses ever could. So here's the application. What is in your hand? What is it that you have and you hold in your hand that God could use way better than you or me? Well, we think of a few things. Our treasures, our time, our talents. Those are things that actually belong to the Lord, that were given to us by God. Those are things that should be at his disposal and subject to him. Go to Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, please. We're going to look at verse 38 and 39. Matthew chapter 10, in verse 38. "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." What is it that Jesus is talking about here? He's talking about your treasure, your time, your talents, all that your life consists of. And Jesus says, if you go about trying to use that to bring some sort of satisfaction to yourself in life, you're going to lose it. But you be willing to lay all of that down and give it to the Lord for my sake, that's where you're going to find contentment. That's where you're going to find real life. And if we're talking about treasures or time or talents, we have to understand that none of those are really ours. And those things will never flourish in our own hand. We try to use this life to bring happiness to ourselves. Those things will never flourish in our own hand. No matter what life we try to make for ourselves, it's not going to profit anything if we're not willing to be faithful to the Lord with it. So, for example, are you faithful to the Lord? And even the small things. Do you tithe? Do you faithfully give to the Lord of your substance? Do you faithfully give to the Lord of your increase, a tenth of it? Do you tithe? Do you give to missions? Do you honor the Lord with your substance? Listen, what I'm saying is, you might say, "Oh, well, yeah, sure, I give, and I give when I can to missions or so on." But listen, this is not just giving some money. It's not just about money. Not at all. Go to John chapter 12, in fact. In John chapter 12, in verse 24, Jesus is speaking again, and Jesus says in verse 24, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Jesus says here, listen, it's not about just giving some things. There's an attitude of heart. There's an attitude of surrender. That corn of wheat has got to fall into the ground and die in order for it to bring forth fruit. That's your life. That's your life. If you're not faithful in the simple things, the small things like tithing, how are you going to be faithful in a greater thing that the Lord would ask of you to do? How is it that the Lord is able to build up a church in North Pole, Alaska? How is it that it's able to flourish and produce fruit? How is it that it's able to reproduce itself? How is it that it's able to send out more men, continue to plant churches? We just celebrated our 40th birthday. How are we ever going to see our 50th birthday? What is it going to take for God's church to flourish? Listen, what it's going to take is people who are good stewards of God's things, the things that He already owns. Our time, our treasures, our talents, God gave them. God did not give them to use for ourselves. He gave them for us to turn around and yield them back to Him and be faithful to the Lord and be yielded instruments in the hand of a powerful God. That's how we're going to see our 50th birthday, if the Lord tarries. It takes people who are simply yielded to the Lord with all that they have. And so the question is, and really the main point of this message is, what's in your hand? In other words, what has God given you, and are you yielding it back to Him? We can think of all kinds of examples. You know, God gave you a mind. Some of them are sharper than others. Some of them used to be more sharp than they are now. I got an amen from Brother Gert. You weren't supposed to amen that. Unless you're talking about somebody else, brother. What do you fill your mind up with? What kind of things dominate my daily life and thoughts? Do you ever think this way? Do you ever think things like, how can God use me today to make a difference in somebody else's life? Is that how you think? Or are my thoughts filled up with just daily life and what's happening and how I can work less and make more? What is it that consumes our mind? What do we fill up our minds with? Many times we fill our minds up with unproductive things. But God's given us a mind to be used. Why don't we think and be a thinker and find creative or effective ways that God can use me in the life of somebody else? How can I be a blessing to somebody today? God's given you a mouth. Moses said that. He said in Exodus chapter 4, in verse 10, he said, I'm not eloquent of speech. I'm just going to turn back there myself so I don't mess up the verse. He said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. What was God's response? Moses, who made a person's mouth? I did. How are we using what God has already given to us? I think we can use our mouth for unproductive things too. Why not praise and honor the Lord rather than complain and grumble about things? Why not use our mouth to uplift and build one another rather than to tear down or discourage? Why don't we use that for the Lord? We have might. That's energy and strength. You know what? It takes some courage for a person to go against the flow, to be determined to be different than other people, to be spiritually minded. It takes some courage for a person to say, I've spent a lot of my life in this career field, or I've done this, but God wants more for me. And I'm going to lay it all down and walk away from it to serve the Lord to a greater degree. And I'm just going to trust Him to provide and to make me an able minister. It takes some courage for somebody to say, I've got some time. I've got some resources at my disposal. Instead of being controlled by the job and the boss and life, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take some time off from work and I'm going to go on a missions trip. I'm going to help a missionary somewhere. I'm going to see how the Lord might use me further in this life. I have some energy. I have some strength. We've got material possessions. We talked about tithing. You can read over Malachi chapter 3, how God says, bring the tithes into the storehouse. It was a command of God. But He says, prove me, test me. See if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. You know, tithing is actually a matter of obedience rather than something we choose to do when we feel like being giving. No, it's a matter of obedience. If you're not tithing, if you're not giving, you're being disobedient to God. How are we using what we already have in our hand? Somebody might not feel like they have much to give to the Lord because they're sick or they're weak, they're frail. But you know, even those kinds of things can actually be used of God. I think of, it's pretty common to joke about, but you know the type of person that says, oh, hey, how are you doing? And whenever you, no one wants to ask that person how they're doing. Yeah, that person, no one ever wants to ask that person how they're doing because all they're going to get is like, oh, I'm just so sick and my bunions hurt and all these other things. And they just go on and on and on and on about how weak and frail they are. Don't be that kind of a person. They seem to complain a lot about health. But instead of that, God can take those things and be an encouragement to somebody else. If we trust the Lord with it, we can trust that God has a plan in all that He does. What about maturity? Some people say, I'm too old. You know what? Age doesn't mean stop serving the Lord. We're supposed to be good stewards of the things that God has given to us. We ought to continue to find ways that the Lord might use us to bring Him glory. I always remember my grandma Alice. She was amazing. She served with my grandfather in Mexico for many, many years on a mission field. She labored, she served, she labored, she served. By his side, helping with trips and groups, and just a lot of work. But she loved doing it. My grandfather died. That changed things in her life. She moved back to the United States. She was a member of a church. She was old. But you know what I remember most about her? Is she never stopped serving the Lord. She found a new way to serve God. And every day, she would go over to the print shop of her local church. She'd go over to the print shop and she would collate and fold portions of scripture that were being put together to send out to missionaries. Every day she would do that. You know what she didn't do? She didn't wish or long for the days gone by when she was on a mission field or serving there. She thanked the Lord for those, but then she found a new way to keep on serving God. And she was always an example, because she could have just retired. She could have just took in the life of ease that was there available for her. But she always said, my purpose is to serve God. And she found a new way to do it, even when she was mature or old. Old age doesn't mean stop serving the Lord. We are to be good stewards of the things that God has given to us. And I don't know if you've noticed, but these all start with M so far. Do you know what? You can even take the mistakes of your life and yield them to the Lord, and God can use those to be a blessing. We all make mistakes. Sometimes we go through the school of hard knocks. That can be a great teacher. It can teach us some things. And some people might think, well, because I've made so many mistakes, I don't really have much that I can give to God. But you know, other people can benefit from us being transparent and humble about what our life has been. You know, you'd say, hey, teenager, I messed this area of my life up. I didn't obey the Lord, but I learned some lessons from it, and I learned a better way from the Lord. And I just want to encourage you, don't go that way. Don't do that, because it'll mess your life up too. You don't have to experience the same things that I did. Even our failures and our mistakes can be used of God if we'll just learn to be yielded and faithful to Him. Moses said, I can't. But God said, Moses, what's in your hand? He said, it's just this. And God took it and did some miraculous things with it. Why did Moses say, I can't? Because all he could see at the time was himself. When we simply will yield to the Lord, God can and will do great things with our life if we'll just determine to be surrendered and faithful to Him. And as time passes over your life, you can look back on all that God has done, and we can be grateful to Him that He's given me purpose in my life. He's given me the ability to bring glory to Him. There has to be faithful, determined stewards of the things that God has already given. And so as we move forward in our Christian life, in the life of our church, what's it going to take? What's it going to take? It's going to take people who are simply willing to lay it down and yield to the Lord. Not us saying, God, I want to serve you, but I want it to look this way. I'll serve you, but this is how I want to do it. Why don't we instead say, Lord, I do want to serve you, even if you tell me this is not the place, there's another place. Lord, I'm willing to do that. And I'll trust that you will make me an able minister. God just wants yielded vessels. You might say, I don't have anything to offer God. I don't know how I can benefit this church. Just simply say, Lord, I'm whatever it is that you want to use out of me, I'm willing. I'm going to trust you. Start with your time, your talents, your treasures. Start with the things that are already in your hand. Amen? Trust God with it, and God will use it to bring glory to Himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for, again, your word. And we say that a lot, but I mean it. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for your word. I'm thankful for examples in Scripture that are so relevant for me, reminders of what I actually look like and what needs to change, and also encouragements to keep on going. Lord, the right components of what needs to be in my life to bring you glory and honor. And like the Apostle Paul said, not that our sufficiency is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is in Christ. And you have made us able to do what you've asked us to do. And that's really what God was trying to teach and show Moses again. It's not about your abilities. It's not about your weaknesses. I can use anything if you'll simply lay it down. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to not focus on ourselves, but, Lord, to focus on you, to focus on the task that you have given us to do, and then, Lord, trust in your abilities. And, Lord, through all of that, we're able to give you glory with our life, which is our purpose for existence. And, Lord, you are the one who even enables us to bring glory to yourself. Lord, help us to be surrendered and yielded. And even as we leave today to think and meditate and ponder, am I really surrendered to the Lord? Am I really yielded to His will and what He would have me to do? Or do I say, I'll serve you, Lord, but I want it to look this way? Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be willing to die to self. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's